Today on the Wisdom Journey, Stephen takes you to 1 Timothy 3, where Paul outlines the qualifications for church leaders, both elders and deacons. Leadership in the church isn't just about holding a position. It's about living out godly character. Paul emphasizes that everything rises and falls on leadership, whether in a business, an organization, or the local church. Today, you'll learn what it means to lead in a way that honors God.
Now, as we set sail back into 1 Timothy, Paul is giving his younger colleagues some inspired instructions regarding leadership in the local church, and it's important. Here in chapter 3, he introduces a list of qualifications for church leaders. Now, this third chapter is so critical because it establishes the standard for choosing qualified elders, qualified pastors, church leaders. You're not just asking for volunteers. You're not asking for warm bodies. See, these leaders will determine in large part whether the local church will rise or fall. Now, Paul begins with qualifications for these overseers. You could translate it pastors or elders. He writes here in verse 1, "If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task." I like to think of this as a passion qualification because it indicates the man really desires the office of an elder. In fact, the words for aspire and desire are very strong, emotionally passionate words. In other words, you're not twisting some poor guy's arm behind his back to serve in that role, and you won't give up until he surrenders. Now, the term here for overseer is the Greek word episkope. In other passages, particularly Acts chapter 20, Ephesians chapter 4, Titus chapter 1, and 1 Peter chapter 5, all of these texts combined give us three different terms for this one office. The term elder highlights the dignity and maturity of the office. The pastor, shepherd, emphasizes the priority of feeding, of teaching. Pastoring conveys the idea of pasturing the flock in green pastures of biblical truth. Now, this third term, overseer, which is used here, highlights authority and leadership. Now, in the New Testament, the term elder is the most common term, but all three terms refer to the same church office. Elders are typically seen as plural in New Testament churches. In fact, Acts chapter 20 refers to plural elders in a singular local church. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have a plurality of elders to have a biblical church. Many churches are small, and to even have one elder, one pastor, is a blessing. Many young pastors appoint elders too quickly in their haste to create this plurality. And Paul doesn't want Timothy making that same mistake. And we know that because Paul now begins a rather long list of qualifications for these church leaders. He starts here in verse 2 by saying that the elder overseer must be above reproach. Now, this means there's nothing in his life that can be called into question. It doesn't mean he's perfect, but it does mean he's progressed to a point of spiritual maturity where he can be trusted. You could say this qualification is a sort of a categorical heading for every other qualification here. He's blameless in every area. The first specific area of the elder's life that is addressed is marriage. Paul writes here in verse 2 that he must be the husband of one wife. Now, this doesn't mean that he can't be a single man or a widowed man. In fact, a literal translation of this phrase is he must be a one-woman man. Now, I don't think Paul is specifically speaking here to the issue of divorce here any more than he's speaking about polygamy either. In fact, given his day, he might be addressing the issue of a heterosexual marriage. He must be married to one woman. Well, what we do know is that the Bible is requiring an overseer to be obviously publicly devoted to the woman that he's married. Now, the next qualification here is sober-minded, and this means sober in judgment. He's clear-headed in his decision-making. Next, the elder is to be self-controlled. This word here relates to emotional stability. Next, the word respectable appears in this list, and that refers to having a well-ordered life. He's not running around without any purpose or plan in life. Paul says here in verse 2 that overseers are to be hospitable. This is a compound word that literally translated means loving strangers, gracious to strangers. So here's the question. How does he treat people he doesn't really know? How does he treat that mechanic at the shop? How does he treat the waitress? How does he tip the waiter? How does he treat people who just show up at his door? Is he gracious to strangers? The next qualification here is apt or able to teach. And by the way, this one qualification distinguishes elders from deacons in these different New Testament lists of qualifications. The lists are virtually synonymous except for this one requirement for elders. And that's because the primary role of an elder is what? Feeding the flock the Word of God. I know some pastors who would be wonderful deacons. They love the Lord. They love to serve the flock, but they're not able, they're not apt, they're not gifted to teach the Word. Now, verse 3 adds to the list that an overseer must not be a drunkard. Literally, he must not be beside the wine, is how you'd literally translate that. We would say he's not known to be a drinker. He'd be a bad example if he was, especially to the young people in the flock. Another qualification here in verse 3 is he's not violent, but gentle and not quarrelsome. In other words, in his disposition, his demeanor, the elder should be patient with people, not argumentative and pushy, not physically aggressive. Next, he's not to be a lover of money, which means he's not focused on financial gain or material things. That's a characteristic of worldliness, by the way, isn't it? Not godliness. Well, now Paul continues in verse 4 to write, he must manage his own household well, keeping his children submissive. If the congregation sees his children openly disrespecting him without any discipline, well, this can discredit him. This can disqualify him from this role. In fact, Paul adds here in verse 5 that if he can't manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? Now, with that, the list concludes here in verses 6 and 7 with two more qualifications. He must not be a recent convert, and he must be well thought of by outsiders. So what this means is his testimony and his reputation in the community is just as important as it is inside the church. Now, when the church ignores these qualifications and chooses leaders, well, like the world does, outgoing personalities, physical appearance, impressive resumes, financial status, well, it's little wonder, beloved, that that church falls instead of rises. Now, with that, Paul moves immediately to the qualifications for deacons. The term deacon simply means servant. Broadly speaking, deacons assist the elders by serving the church body in tangible ways like crisis care, benevolence funds, helping widows, helping the needy in the church family. Now, the qualifications for deacons are very similar to those of overseers. Verse 8 says here that they are to be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. Down in verse 12, more qualifications are added. The husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the primary distinction is that deacons are not required to be able to teach as elders are. Now, don't misunderstand, beloved, that doesn't mean deacons are less spiritual. It doesn't mean that deacons don't know the Word of God. They must know the Word of God. In fact, Paul even writes here in verse 9 that deacons must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. In other words, they're to stand firm on Scripture and live out the truths of the faith with a clear conscience. A church can be destroyed. It can fall when there are ungodly or spiritually immature deacons. Now, because deacons are serving sort of in the trenches, they're serving hands-on in ways that will often include their wives. Paul adds here in verse 11, their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded and faithful in all things. Now, there are some fine Christians that would take this list to be a list of qualifications for deaconesses. Now, the problem is there's no clear reference in the New Testament to a recognized office of deaconess. However, if women are serving the church, I personally don't see any problem with them being called deaconesses, so long as they're not assuming the leadership role that the elders are responsible for in the church. In the church I've pastored now for decades, more than 1,000 women are volunteering to serve the body. In fact, if they didn't show up one Sunday, I don't think we'd be able to manage for 5 minutes. Well, now Paul tells Timothy this information is critical so that church members will know and understand, verse 15, how one ought to behave in the household of God. Besides, Paul adds, the church isn't a social club. He writes here, it is the pillar and buttress of the truth. The church is revealing what Paul calls here the mystery of godliness, which is the gospel of Christ. And that's summarized in the life of Christ here in verse 16. Well, let me tell you, beloved, it's time for the church to act like the church, to go back to her mission of delivering the gospel. It's certainly time for elders and deacons to grow up, to step up, to play their role as godly servant leaders in the church. It's time for the church to select leaders that are qualified, because that principle remains true to this day. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and he called this lesson Qualifications for Elders and Deacons. It might be that the leaders in your church could benefit from hearing the message. Or maybe you know of some men who aspire to be elders or deacons. This lesson is posted online, and you can share it so that others can listen. Simply visit wisdomonline.org and send the link to those who would benefit. Join us next time on this Wisdom Journey.